Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Carlos Bray, CEO of Contango Holdings. Welcome back, Carl. How's life treating you?
Yeah, very good. Thanks. Good to see you guys again. Hope you had a good summer.
Sounds like you've been busy anyway.
Yes. Well, I spent a lot of the summer down in Africa, so I didn't manage to take advantage of the warmth. Although a winter in Binga is about 30 degrees. So,
wow.
You know, don't feel too sorry for me.
Still sweaty then.
Yeah.
Just last week, you announced the positive results from the Lubu coking coal and coke test. Do you want to just talk us through these results and what they mean for Lubu in the future?
Yes, well, you'll note that we've signed an offtake for our coking coal. That was a few months back. Actually, demand for coking coal in the region is extremely healthy. What we wanted to do also is, as you recall, we've built a small coke battery of our own, and we've coked our own coking coal, run that coke through various tests, and we've distributed those tests to offtakers in the region, including steel mills in South Africa, traders in South Africa. And obviously, those were very positive results, so that will spur some offtakes on our coke as we move forward and eventually build the coke batteries up in Binga.
Sure. And looking at those results, they seem to be of good purity. Do you want to just talk us through what you found with the quality of that?
Yes, well, they very low impurities, very low sulfur. So this is very good coke for steel mills to buy and blend with coke of different characteristics. I mean, obviously, every industry has its own specifications, whether it's chrome smelting, whether it's steel smelting, ferroalloys, they all have different specifications of coke that they want, and no one coke deposit, or it's very unlikely that one coke deposit holds the exact specifications they need. So they buy coke with different specifications, crush it up and blend it to make the coke that goes into their smelters. And obviously ours, especially the sulfur count, gives an ideal blending to reduce the sulfurs in other coal and other cokes to kind of meet the specifications that they need.
So basically those tests were run through, I believe it was a 1 ton per hour. You have a test plant running there with a vision to obviously install the larger 100 ton per hour throughput. How are things going with that? I think it was One Vision, wasn't it? The company that were doing the installation?
Yes. Well, that was a pilot plant effectively that we've been running at the moment as we expand to the larger plant. The main focus is on being getting the wash plant installed, the lab installed, and also the local community moved up in Binga. I think we've spoken before that about that in the past. Those are all contiguous tasks. Actually, the pit, the mining started many months ago, as you know, but the ancillary equipment, the ancillary wash plant, but specifically also moving the local community away from the blast areas is the task that are ongoing at the moment and going very well. You'll get some update pictures in the coming weeks of the wash plant installation as it nears its completion.
And then obviously, as you alluded to earlier on, this offtake with A to Z Investments for, I think, 10,000 ton per month. Is that all still on track and you, the company, to deliver first revenue by the end of the calendar year?
Yes, that's the plan at the moment. And A to Z could take more from us. Obviously, we have to scale the plant up as we go. So, you know, we won't be able to produce more than that initially. We have an ambitious plan to scale up production in the region and add more wash plants as we try to eventually produce multiple product lines for the different off-takers in the region. We have really no shortage of people. I know, you know, if you rewind a year ago, coking coal as a product was difficult because there was, we weren't living in the days that we are today when so many coal mines have been shut down. But at this point, we have a plethora of offtake options, including in non-coking coal, including in thermal coal.
So, Carl, just to come back to this offtake agreement that's signed, sealed, and delivered, what sort of financials are we talking about for this offtake? They're obviously, they're picking the coal up, or we're delivering it somewhere?
No. So the initial offtake was designed to be a mine gate. So it's picked up at the mine gate. And that's to just give the company some breathing space. Because obviously, as we tweaking the mine and we're starting up the mine, we don't want to have to build an entire logistics solution and run trucks and workshops for trucks initially. So initially, the first offtake is 10,000 tons a month, and it's all collected at our mine gate. We just need to wash it, crush it, and deliver it within spec. And the current price that they're paying for that is $120 a ton at mine gate. And the cost base for us is sub $40 a ton for that.
Okay, so we're making maybe $80 a ton on that.
Yeah.
$800,000 a month.
Yes, that's right.
$9.6 million a year.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, So on $9.6 million a year with the current exchange rates, maybe $8.5 million in terms of cash flow. And that's free cash flow, I presume.
So, that's right, yeah.
I mean, this alone surely sort of verifies your £21 million market cap as we stand.
Yeah, we think so. I mean, we have other offtake offers for higher prices. Those often involve us delivering it either to a port or delivering it into South Africa. The margins will be higher even with the delivery, but it's something that we're going to only look at once we've delivered our first offtake, because it would involve us delivering a logistics solution, as I said, workshops, diesel storage, and you know, we want to just kind of attack one challenge at a time.
Yeah, and we're in the middle of an energy crisis, obviously in Europe especially, and parts of the world. So it was interesting. We had a conversation obviously before we started to speak. At Lubu, you're digging up 60% thermal coal and 40% coking coal, metallurgical coal, which we've seen is a very good quality. And there's obviously a process to go through to be able to use that coking coal. So are you just going to leave the thermal coal there, or have you been approached about thermal coal? What's the situation?
Yeah, the world, it's a funny place now, because there's an energy crisis, as you said, and then one of the biggest producers of thermal coal in the world is persona non grata. So there is a huge demand for thermal coal. We've been approached, I mean, even months ago it was, but now it's obviously much more panicked. We've been approached by lots of European countries to deliver Zimbabwean thermal coal, I mean, if you would believe it. So we're looking at solutions to be able to deliver coal to a port. And obviously the South African ports are absolutely rammed, because South African Richards Bay is now basically a full-time exporter of coal to Europe. And so we're looking at ports in Mozambique to see how we can deliver coal to the two big Mozambican ports in order to get some tonnage into Europe. Now, that's not to say how long this kind of panic lasts. I don't know. But predominantly we built this business to be a coking coal producer and a coke producer. We see that as a very sustainable part of the value chain. You know, like we said, regardless of where the world moves on clean energy, there will always be a demand for coke and coking coal. But whilst there is a huge shortage of thermal coal and we can deliver a solution for that, we will look to capitalize on that.
Seems to make sense. Anyway, what's the sort of dynamics financially behind that then? What sort of offtake values have you been offered?
Well, the thermal coal price is in the 400s at the moment on a delivered basis. If you net that back to Maputo, that's in the low 300s. The actual mining of the thermal coal for us is free, because we mine it anyway in order to get to the coking coal. So there's a small cost for washing, and then there's about a $150 delivery to the port. So you could probably add up our cost base at around $170, $175. And the price that we'd be getting for that would be in the low 300s at present.
You could be getting $150 free cash flow per ton. And what sort of tonnage? What sort of tonnage have these people been asking? Obviously, as much as you can give them, probably. But
the bottlenecks for us will be: how much can we mine? How much can we wash? How much can we truck? And how much can the port take? Because there is no capacity to export coal from South Africa anymore. Richards Bay is totally full. So they're now looking at other ports that they can send coal from. It's just, you know, you can imagine in South Africa where you can actually rail it to the port, the economics are even better for thermal coal. And so every available quality ton of thermal coal that can be sent from Southern Africa is being sent to Europe at the moment. Yeah, he was saying, how much can we deliver? So I'd say if we could get to around 10,000 tons a month of thermal coal without a huge expansion in capital, we'd be quite happy with that.
Yeah, and when can you see that starting to happen?
Early next year, at the earliest.
Okay, so the metallurgical coal, coking coal, is going to be online before the thermal coal, is what you say?
Yes, that's right. And just one quick thing, I mean, on the price of met coal, I mean, you've seen obviously the price on the spot, the European spot market, on the US market, skyrocket and then obviously fall subsequently. We don't really have that kind of dynamic in Zimbabwe and South Africa, because we're not as spot based. So you've seen, like I said to you, the price delivered of our met coal is $120. At one point, the price of delivered of spot coking coal was $600 into China. So I don't see it falling. In fact, I still see upward pressure on the coking coal price as it slowly catches up to even the price in Europe, where it's, you know, it's gone up and it's fallen, and we haven't even caught up to the point where it ended up in Europe. So I don't see any negative pressure on the coking coal price coming. In Zimbabwe, I see a small upward pressure on it.
But in terms of just going quickly back to the thermal coal, can you see that you have the potential to sort of sign maybe a 12-month offtake agreement for the thermal coal? Is that something that you're hoping to do?
Yes, I could see that. The price won't be fixed though on that. So the price will obviously be referenced to either API or a delivered price into Europe. And so I think the point of maximum paying will be December, January. So, you know, I'm hoping that we can get everything ready by then to capitalize most of it. But certainly the way we were thinking 18 months ago of thermal coal being finished, unless there's a domestic power station, I think the world's rethought that a little bit. Now, whether they're rethinking that for 1 year, 2 years or 10 years, I can't tell you. But certainly we'll be looking to take some advantage of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the worst case scenario from what you're saying, if it's 10,000 tons a month for even a year, you're going to be sort of between $10 and $12 million better off, you know, £10 million pounds. So straight away, that would up the ante to, you're talking about somewhere in the region of $18 to $20 million pounds of net cash flow next year. With these two situations, and this is even before you get to any major coking coal coking plants, if you like. So this would be,
and this would pay for those coking plants, right? So that's important thing. And the coke plants then become a really sustainable source of cash going forward.
Okay, so it is really quite remarkable that next year we really are looking at an almost certainty of 20 million revenue, free cash flow revenue, and a £21 million market cap. This is bizarre. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, that's right. And we can obviously then fund our coke batteries using cash flow generated by the company. And the coke batteries and the coke business is obviously the most sustainable business within the cokes, within the coal space. It's the very high value item. So you're getting best bang for your buck when you transport it. And there's huge demand for it across Asia, across our region, and across Brazil.
And I mean, we haven't really, we're not really going to talk about it now because I don't think it's sort of applicable, but you've also got to throw the gold into the mix.
That's
as
right.
Well, which is another asset, but ultimately that's not moving at the minute. And maybe now is not the time for gold, but it will be at some point in the not too distant future.
Yeah, the recent kind of sell-off in equities has hit gold quite hard, and it's kind of hit the appetite of people that we were speaking to as well. It's been an offset, really, because the coal market has been so hot. You look at some coal equities trading in regions that aren't in the UK, and they're hitting all-time highs. Look at Peabody. Look at the things listed in South Africa. The UK companies obviously aren't. Coal isn't as well understood, maybe, or as well liked, so I don't think you've seen the same rating there. At the same time, we've seen gold companies come under pressure, and that has affected the appetite of a few of the people we were speaking to. And so we're just kind of sitting on our hands at the moment, and just all hands on deck to build the coal mine. We're months away from revenue there. And then as things get a little bit better, hopefully we can resume some of the talks we were having on the coal.
Yeah, I mean, you look in the UK at Thungela, is it, that was spun out, and it's an all-time high, and they've just agreed to pay 225 pence dividend or whatever. It was like 25% or maybe even bigger dividend. I don't remember the exact numbers. But yeah, the amount of free cash flow that's being pumped out of coal companies is absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
The only ones that are not really working well are the completely indebted companies, which are in the US mainly.
That's right.
Because anything that's got no debt and has the ability to produce coal at the minute is going to be making shed loads of cash. It's as simple as that.
Right.
And the sooner you can get to that point where you can increase production at a greater rate, you know, the better it's going to be for Contango, for sure.
Mm. And use free cash flow to pay for that capacity expansion.
Yeah, even better.
Carl, it's been an absolute pleasure as always. Thanks very much for your time.
Brilliant. Thanks, guys. Really good catching up.
Thanks, Carl. Speak to you soon.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.